I would like to continue, spend a third week on basically the whole idea of self-control. When I got kind of preparing for that initial week in the Fruit of the Spirit, when we're talking about self-control, I was reading through Craig Rochelle's book, The Power to Change, and I listened to a series of messages of his on self-control as well. And so I'm going to use some of his thoughts because they've just been bouncing in my head. But I just thought, I want to finish it because I think there's just a lot of angles with self-control that we all could use and need. Amen? We probably all could use a little help in this area. And so I don't know if you remember much about the other messages. I forgot the mousetrap in my office this morning, but you know, I used that illustration and how sin is lurking, right? And it's like the enemy lays out the bait, the cheese, the peanut butter, whatever, and it looks good. It looks tasty, it smells good, whatever. Sin always looks tempting, right? And it often answers a need that we have in the moment. And so we think, well, I will sacrifice the better for the pleasure of right now. Right? And so that's how we get lured into sin, and that's how we end up indulging and causing harm to ourselves. And we read about in Genesis 4 about Cain and Abel, and how God said to Cain, sin is crouching at the door and you must master it. Jacob and Esau, we talked about that story where Esau gave up his birthright for some stew because he was hungry. And we often kind of laugh at a story like that, but then we forget to realize that many times we've compromised ourselves over simple things sometimes because we have no control. We have no self-control. We have no vision even of who God says we are and what he's called us to be. Amen? And so it's so important to understand we are going to be in a battle to manage our desires, to manage the things, the urges that we have within us. And whether it's food, whether it's sexual stuff, whether it's the temptation to steal or cheat or whatever, there's always going to be those lures depending on what we're going through in our life and what is going on in our heart. So different seasons of your life, there'll be different temptations. And there'll be different ways that you're going to have to prepare yourself and be able to have yourself ready to withstand those things that come your way so that you can stay close to the Lord. Amen? And we use some of these scriptures, Proverbs 25, 28, a person without self-control is like a city with broken down walls. 2 Timothy 1, 7, for God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control, or self-discipline, depending what version you read. And then 2 Peter 1, 3, it says that by his divine power, God has given us everything we need to live a godly life. So God has actually given us everything we need. Sometimes we want to blame. Well, I don't have it. I don't have what it takes. I don't have patience. I don't have kindness. I have a hard time caring for, you know, other people around me. I have a hard time. And it's like, actually, God's given you all that you need. You just need to submit to him. So I want to move on with that this morning. And I was thinking about this. I'll ask you this question. Have you ever seen somebody that's really successful? Have you ever seen someone... it seems to have everything together, and you wonder, how do they do that? Where you see someone with like the perfect body, crazy healthy body, or they're super successful in business, or they seem to have the most perfect marriage. I mean, they're always happy with each other, never fighting. You know, maybe they're an incredible leader, or they have massive influence. And you ever just look at them and think, man, they're lucky. Anybody? You know, it must have just been handed to them, right? They were in the right place at the right time. They met the right person, got the right opportunity. They had the right genetics. They had a lucky idea. They were lucky to have the friends they did that kind of spurred them on. You know, luck does exist. But for many successful people, at least in many of the major areas of their life, they aren't lucky. They're consistent and they're intentional. One of the phrases that Craig Rochelle says that I wrote down, he says, successful people do consistently what others do occasionally. I thought, yeah, that's very true. Successful people do consistently what others do occasionally. I listened to a lot of leadership stuff the last little while, just when I, whatever, listened to podcasts and stuff. And one thing I've noticed, a theme in several of them lately that I've been listening to, is they talk about the importance of intentionality in everything that we do. We have to be intentional in reaching our goals. We have to be intentional about seeing change in our life. We don't just sit back and say, I hope something happens. I hope I get healthy one day. I hope this happens. I hope I get rich. I hope, you know, sometimes we say stuff like that, but and we joke about it, but we actually sometimes live like that, thinking that, oh, I just hope something good happens eventually. I hope my marriage might improve. But we have to actually be intentional. And so we need to set goals. We need to look at our life and say, what is it that I'm dreaming about? What is the dream that God has given me even for my life? And how can I be faithful in stewarding what I have been given, the gifts, the talent, the time, everything you have to reach those things? Amen? And so whether it's in business, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's with friends, whether it's your personal health or spirituality, I want to encourage you to have a plan. In fact, 2 weeks ago, I said I would ask you and remind you, did you make a plan and did you follow through? And I'm asking you again today, and maybe you forgot all about it. That's okay. God's forgiving and so am I. But if you have not actually made a plan for you to spiritually grow, would you please do it? Because if we don't plan, we plan to fail, right? If we fail to plan, we plan to fail. And so just think about, when am I going to read scripture? When am I going to get into the Word of God? When am I going to spend time in prayer? How am I going to incorporate my spiritual walk with Him? And you can apply that into any area of your life if you're wanting to get healthy. Physically, you know, okay, you make a plan. How am I going to eat better? How am I going to exercise more? It doesn't just happen, right? Right?
Right.
Okay. I encourage you, have a plan with your finances so that you're not a slave to interest or debt. So you can be free, so you can be a blessing to others. You know, God wants us to live in a realm of generosity, but if you are bound over your head with debt, how are you able to be free to do that? And so some of these practical things are, God is calling us to be good stewards in our life. If you want to minister to people and be able to be there for your family long term, you need to take care of the body that you've been given. You only get one, right? And that's a challenge. And we all have our struggles, right? But this is something we need to pay attention to. I've never met anyone that just accidentally paid off all their debt in a rush. They actually paid attention and they made a plan and they said, I'm going to have a budget. I'm going to have X amount extra so I can pay down my debt quicker. I'll make my payments every week instead of every month or every 6 months or whatever the bank offers you so you pay less interest. You know, you pay attention. You're intentional. I haven't known anyone that's had a marriage, great marriage for 50 years where they haven't had fights and disagreements and everything without being incredibly intentional about keeping connection, about fighting for communication and what it means to have their hearts bound together and serving one another and putting them first. There's no accident about that. To have a healthy marriage takes a lot of work. If you coast, you're going to have trouble, right? And so all of these things, it's not by fluke, it's not by accident, but it's by being intentional, by being consistent, by following through, by learning to do the simple things, like apologize when you do something dumb. You know, hey, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. Instead of just, I can do what I want and have this pride and arrogance that we carry in a relationship. It won't work well. I haven't met someone that just randomly got really close to God. You know, like they were sinning and sinning and sinning, and then all of a sudden there was lightning flashing from the sky and they heard God's voice every single day and knew exactly what to do, and they never sinned again and they never had a temptation. I mean, encounters with God are wonderful and they propel us and many times can change, bring change, but we still have to be good stewards in walking out the practice of being a disciple. And so I love those moments where we have encounters with God, but it's going to take the faithfulness of saying yes to Him and no to my flesh to continue to walk with Him and journey. Hope is a powerful thing, but it won't change your life. Habits will. Consistent things put in practice will help you change, will help you grow. And again, whether you can apply this to any area of your life, in business, in relationships, with your family, with your spouse, and spiritually, with the Lord. The life that we want is not going to come from luck, but from consistent, deliberate, intentional, small choices that we make every day to chase the vision that God has given us for ourselves or for our job or business or whatever. Here's another one I wrote down that Craig said. It says, it's the small things that no one sees that lead to the big results that everyone wants. It's the small things that no one sees that lead to the big results everyone wants. Consistency, faithfulness, commitment, self-discipline, self-control. The hard part is we often don't see the results fast enough, do we? And so we want to quit. We want to give up. You know, it's not working out. I'm done. I ate healthy for 3 days and I didn't lose 25 pounds. I'm going to Tim Hortons today. You know, I tried this new skill. I tried to, you know, learn guitar and I played it for a month and can't play like Delaney, so I'm out. You know, I forget who says it, but you know, they say it takes 10,000 hours to master something. We so often think if I don't have it figured out, like right now, it's like the McDonald's drive-thru kind of mentality. If I can't just do this and master it, then I'm out. I give up. Start small if you have to. But have a vision, have a plan for your in the different areas of your life and say, God, lead me and guide me in this so that I can be the person you've called me to be. Amen? All right, let's jump in the Bible. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 9. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. Amen? So don't be deceived. In other words, don't be dumb. That's basically what that means. God cannot be mocked. In the Greek, the word mock means to snub your nose, like to turn your thumb up your nose or to snub, basically. And he's like, you can't do that with God. All right? And then Paul gives this law, and the law is this: a man reaps what he sows. And then he goes on to say, whoever sows to please their flesh, remember the flesh, is we're not talking about your skin and bones and all that. We're talking about the spiritual realm of our actions and the things that we do and our desires, our sinful nature. And so whoever does what's wrong and sinful from that their flesh, well, they will reap destruction. So basically it's like this: you sow bad, you get bad. Okay? The opposite, of course, is that if we put into practice healthy habits with the Lord and we spiritually grow and put things into our life, we're going to produce a healthy life, a harvest out of that. Amen? How many of you are thankful for the promise that at the right time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up? Sometimes it feels hard and it feels far away and it feels impossible because we're in the midst of a mess, right? But there are promises in Scripture like this that we have to hold on to. I'm thankful for the promise of eternal life. I'm thankful that Jesus said, I gave everything for you and for me. Because I didn't deserve it. I still don't. But I'm so thankful that he loves me even in the midst of my mess and my sin and my mistakes. And he says, I choose you. And every single day, I have access to his mercy and his grace, and I'm thankful for that. But he's inviting you and I to grow, to not just stay spiritually the same, to not just have fire insurance, but to actually go on this faith walk, journey, to get to know him and become more like him. Because we're actually called to be ambassadors. We're supposed to be like Christ. We're supposed to represent Jesus to the world. It's a crazy plan from our logic, but why would God entrust us to spread the good news? But that's what he does. He wants to partner with us. And so when we see the world the way it is, part of that onus is on us as the church to be like, hey, we've got some good news that could help this situation. And so Paul says, let's not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we don't give up. So let's talk about sowing and reaping a little bit. I'll be honest, most of the time when I've thought of sowing and reaping or heard of sowing and reaping being taught, it's to do with finances. And it absolutely applies to that realm of our life too, but it also applies to many other areas of our life. If you look at the context of this verse, literally the chapter right before was what we spent the last 9 weeks on is the fruit of the Spirit. And Paul talked about not giving in to the lusts of our flesh, but that the Holy Spirit should produce in us this fruit. And again, this morning we're talking about the need for self-control. And in chapter 6, he's talking about don't grow weary of doing good and look out for others, help bring correction. The idea is there's things in our life that will be produced out of what we plant in the garden of our heart. I don't know if you noticed, I didn't follow it close enough to get their names, but there's two astronauts that were supposed to go to space for, what was it, like 8 or 9 days? And end up there for months, right? And when they came back, I just saw a video clip last week of them getting out of the capsule, and they were actually helping them walk because they were, had to be reintroduced to what it's like to be in gravity, right? And like when we talk about the law of sowing and reaping, it's like if I take this Bible and I drop it, where's it going to go? Will it go down every time? Yeah. Why? Because of the law of gravity, right? And so we have to understand there's principles, there's spiritual laws, there's principles that God has put in place that we can take to the bank in that sense, right? We know that what we sow, we will reap. It's just a, it's a fact in life. And so Craig talks about there's three things, three laws about sowing and reaping. Number one, you reap what you sow. So whatever you plant, you'll harvest. Number two, you reap more than you sow, right? When you put a seed in the ground, it produces a plant or a tree, and you gain more fruit than what you planted, all right? And the third one is you reap after you sow, all right? You don't just instantly get that plant, but it takes time. And so we'll jump into this a little bit today, but I just want you to get this idea in your head. I'll try not to make a mess. But this is, when I was thinking about it, this is what popped in my head. Now, I washed my car with this last time, so it may not work perfectly, because who knows what's still in that sponge. But the idea is, you know, when you, your heart is protected and guarded if you allow it, and we are careful of what we put into our heart, right? And what we watch, and what we eat, or who we hang out with, what we listen to. And so different things are absorbed into our heart in our life. Does that make sense? And so when pressure comes, okay, when we face trials or challenges, we're squeezed. And what is in us will come out. What we've been filling ourselves will come out, right? And so just like this water, okay, that's what's coming out. When I fill myself with garbage or am stressed or not dealing with bitterness or whatever it might be in my life, when I'm pressured, then all of a sudden something different is coming out of my life. I can't live like this over here and expect to have nice clean water to come out of my life. Does that make sense? And it's incredibly important that we understand, you know, in James chapter 1, it says, remember when you are being tempted, do not say God is tempting me. God is never tempting, God is never tempted to do you wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So again, what we're allowing into our life, it actually dictates our desires. So it, your body feeds, you know how they have an algorithm in social media? Your body's like that. You eat a lot of sugar, you crave more. You do certain things, you begin to crave those things in your life. It becomes a even a neural pathway in your brain, the way you think, the way you talk. And so you begin to develop habits. That's just human nature, right? And we get into those paths. So we have to be careful the way we set our lives up, because what we are taking in is going to be what we produce. And it's the same thing with what we give out is what we harvest in our life. We talk about this because we don't need... because we do need spiritual transformation, not behavioral modification. And sometimes we think of Christianity as it's just nice to, you know, the whole behavior modification thing. That's, we'll just be nice on the outside. We'll just, you're supposed to be good, supposed to be kind. But what we really need is a change in here. Amen? And so we reap what we sow. And so it's a really simple question, kind of like this illustration. If you plant a carrot in the garden, what's going to grow? It's not a trick question. You won't get a grapefruit. You won't get a tomato. You won't get an apple. You'll get a carrot, right? So paraphrasing what Paul had said, if you plant bad seeds, you get a harvest of destruction. We want to plant godly seeds, things that will over time bring a great godly harvest in our life. And so it's the simpleness of if I disrespect people, if I cheat people, if I in business or if I rip people off, those kinds of things, that's going to come back to me. When you're really rude to people, you tend to get a rude response. I mean, some of those things are instant. And on the opposite, when you learn to love people, when you care for them, you know, like in a marriage, when you consistently have a heart to love and serve that other person and do whatever you can to actually care for their needs, then you know what? It's really hard for them to be angry at you. They want to do everything they can to love and serve you back. And so we talk about things in marriage like fighting for connection and communication and those things. Well, it starts with you saying, I want to serve you, my spouse. I want to, like Jill, I mean, she's not here today, but you know, if she was standing here, you know, it's not about like, hey, honey, and give her a hug. It's not about, I love you. I mean, you can say I love you, and it's really important to do that, but love looks like something, right? And so if I really love her, I'll actually take out the garbage. I'll help with the kids. I'll make sure that when she's, you know, like we all go through stuff in life too. When she's struggling at work or there's something going on stressful in her life, that I can be there for her and I can help. And if she's been really busy, how can I step in and take some of that load? That's just the simple of ways of like, how can I serve my spouse so that she feels loved and connected to me? And I guarantee when you do that, it turns around and they want to do it back to you. Amen? Amen. It's not a trick. But it's simple, it's practical, but we have to do it. You know, if you, I doubt you would believe this, but you know, if you eat anything you want, donuts, junk, drink a 2-6 every weekend, never go to the gym, never take care of yourself, you probably wouldn't be surprised if over months, your body is not very healthy anymore, right? Some people would say that's punishment. It's not fair. But actually what's happening is you are reaping a harvest from what you're sowing in your life. And so here's the key. You ready? If you don't like what you're harvesting in your life, then change the seed. So let me ask you this question. What's one area of your life right now that you could say, I want to be consistent and I want to see change? In fact, if I was you, I would take some time with that and even write it down. And I would think about, if you're married, think about it with your relationship with your spouse. What would I like to sow differently, seed-wise, to see change in our marriage, to make it better? With your relationship with the Lord, what could you do differently? What are the seeds that you could plant in your life right now to reap a godly harvest? What about at work? Or whatever God might lead. But think about that. It doesn't have to be a massive, massive change now, but start with the small things that you can manage to bring change over time. Maybe it's an attitude. Maybe it's forgiveness. Maybe it's your devotional life. Maybe it's an area of generosity. And you have this desire to give more, and you're like, yeah, but I have debt and I have all these things. Well, start small. Take $5 and be like, God, I want to bless somebody today. I want to buy them a coffee, or I want to encourage someone. How can I do it? Or if it's an attitude thing that you have, then just pray about, God, how can I come in the opposite spirit of, like if it's gossip or anger, bitterness that rises up, ask God how to come in the opposite spirit. Start changing that inside you. Amen? So remember, successful people do consistently what others do occasionally. And again, that's why I encouraged you 2 weeks ago to have a plan for training yourself with the Lord. Because we often talk about trying, don't we? And that's the biggest cop-out. That's code for, I won't be able to do it. I'll try to be there on time. I'll try to help. I'll try. And that really just means, like, I don't believe I can actually do it. I don't believe I'll actually be able to get it done. And so we don't try, we train. All right, so the second thing is, you reap more than you sow. What you sow, God will multiply. And so in Mark chapter 4, Jesus tells a story. It's a parable of the farmer, the sower. He goes out to sow seed, and he sows seed in some junky soil and the thorns and the rock, and it doesn't grow. But then in verse 8 in Mark chapter 4, I think it's verse 8, Jesus talks about he puts the farmer sows seed in good soil, and it multiplies 30, 60, 100-fold. And that comes from be in good soil. That comes from sowing, and what you put into your life, you're going to reap a multiplication effect. And when we trust God with that, when we trust God by loving other people, by serving them, by helping them, or by being generous with our giving and all those kind of things, God brings that back to us. It's just it's a spiritual law. And so if you work hard at doing relationships in a healthy way, you're going to enjoy no drama. You're going to enjoy a lot of difference in your life because people want to be healthy with you. You attract health when you actually treat others with health. Does that make sense? Have you ever noticed how very dysfunctional people tend to all find each other? No, really. You watch relationships, you watch friendships, and a lot of times people are living in a realm of dysfunction and they will invite people like that because we attract each other, because we produce what's in us or reproduce. We multiply it. And the same thing, like you want to be healthy, you want to have healthy relationships, work at being healthy yourself and treating others in a healthy way because you'll attract that. It sounds silly, but it's real. And God made us that way. And the idea is, again, that we produce healthy things in our life as a result of God being in us and walking with us, and we attract other people to the Lord through just being the light of Jesus to other people. The funnest is when you watch your kids produce what they see in you, in the way they talk, in the attitudes, in the things, the way they treat one another sometimes, and you go, oh, that's me. Whoops. Or hopefully more times it's like, yes. So it's not what we do occasionally that makes a difference, but what we do consistently. So if you don't like what you're reaping, change what you're sowing. The third and final one here is you reap in a different season from when you sow. Which is a pain, right? Because you plant seeds in the spring and you have to wait till the fall for a harvest, right? And it's easy to get discouraged and want to give up because we don't see things happening fast enough. In fact, often we plant seeds in our life and we don't see that instant change. And it's like when a farmer plants seeds in the field and you're waiting for the seed to come out of the ground, to turn into something. It has to germinate and all those things that have to happen. And for that while, you don't know. Did everything turn out right? Did I have a plugged seeder for that whole strip of the field? And people are going to laugh at me all summer because they see the spots I missed. Like there's this season. We, in our life, many times we are doing things and we don't see the result yet and we're antsy. Should I keep going? Is this a waste of time? Does God really care? Is he there? Is this even working? Is it worth reading my Bible? Does this actually matter? And many times, it'll take longer than you think to see the transformation. But you know, even reading a few minutes a day, getting his word into your life, all of a sudden you're faced with something where you're getting squeezed, and out of you comes a scripture that you read a year ago, and you go, oh yeah, God's with me. He'll never leave me. But if you didn't spend the few minutes even getting it into your life, you don't have it when you get squeezed. Instead, out of you comes fear and anger and bitterness. Maybe you bought a gym membership at the start of the year and you haven't gone yet. Don't give up. Maybe you're trying to work on yourself because of your marriage. Like, don't give up. Don't lose hope. Jill and Caleb, they got these little things in like egg cartons, basically. Somebody can help me out, whatever that's. And they got these seeds. They planted in there already, like weeks ago. And they have like a purple light on them at night. And they water them every day. And you should see the excitement Caleb got when he comes screaming in our room one morning because he went out. He always wakes up before us. And he comes screaming in our room. And there's these little green dots that these plants are starting to pop through the dirt, you know. And so they're preparing now to be able to put those plants in the ground when it's time. May long weekend or whenever that is, gardeners. And I kill plants, so does my wife. So anyway, we're not very good at it. But anyway, you plant them at the right time, but because you hope for the harvest. You hope to eat some strawberries down the road or some, like I've told some of you this, but I have a few trees in my yard. This is year, I think, 4. And if there's no apple this year, I've talked to the tree. I told it, this is it. It's your last chance. But we put things in the ground because we hope to reap a harvest. What are you hoping to reap in your life? What harvest are you wanting to see? Here's what I've noticed with myself, okay, just being honest. Sometimes there's things in my life I get really frustrated with. I'm really annoyed about the way things are going. And yet I don't seem willing to actually change anything about the situation, mainly myself. And I start to look at it like, why isn't that changing? Or why is it like this? And it never seems to dawn on me it's because of maybe the seed that I've planted in that situation. And so, like, let's be honest, in every major realm of life, we all want similar things. We want to be healthy. We want to succeed. We want to do well. We want to have a good marriage. We want to know God. And yet it comes down to a lot of these consistent habits that we are going to choose to put in place in our life. The things we're going to sow by spending time with God, by spending time in His Word, by being in church, preaching to the choir here. But it's important to be connected to others in your faith walk too. By serving other people, by loving them. Sometimes we get caught up in a lot of stuff, you know, and what we need to understand is that God cares about your whole being. He cares that you do well in every area of your life, and He's watching, and He wants to walk with you and journey with you in this season. So I want to give you some practical things and we'll end here. If you want to apply this in your life, okay, one of the first things we need to do on a daily basis is to repent. Can I just be straight up? Because we carry stuff and we like to brush it underneath the surface, you know, and this applies to a marriage too. Like, if you've done something dumb, own it. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. That's the first step towards healing is, hey, I screwed up and I'm sorry. And it's the same thing with the Lord. When you've done something, listen, I think every single one of us, basically every day, does something they regret, gets caught up in something, and they need to go to the Lord and say, I'm sorry, Lord. I watched what I shouldn't have. I said what I shouldn't have. I behaved how I shouldn't have. Whatever those things are, and give it to God. The world tries to tell us right now that when you have a feeling that you're right, because your feeling is your truth, right? And that's not real. God is right, and we are wrong. And it's His standard. And it's His way. And so we need to repent when we come out of alignment with that. Acts 3:19 says that that we turn to God so that, and He wipes away our sins so that times of refreshing may come. He wants to bring times of refreshing to your life, but you got to give Him all that junk. Secondly, we need to fall in love with Jesus. I don't know if you watch football or hockey or soccer, but a lot of team sports, you know, one of the best defenses is having a good offense. And so one of the ways that we really can be victorious in a lot of areas in our life is to actually fall in love with Jesus more. I can stand here and say you shouldn't do this and you can't do that, and if you're a Christian, you shouldn't do that, and that's great, but it will not promote change in you. But the more you love Jesus, the easier it is to just say no to that junk. I mean, it's no different than if someone comes for marriage counseling and they're struggling with something, I can say, well, you shouldn't lust at another woman, or you shouldn't watch porn, you shouldn't do that. And those are all true, but what really needs to happen is they need to fall in love with their spouse. And the more they love their spouse, the less they have eyes for anything else. The more you love God, the less you're going to have willingness to pursue any desire that comes your way. And again, it comes back to, what am I filling my life with? Because if I'm filling my life with junk all the time, it's way harder to say no, because I am attracting it from every angle because of the habits I have in my life. So I need to be aware of that. And so if I can fall in love with Jesus, and I know this sounds like Sunday School 101, but we often fail to do it. But the answer is to abide with Jesus, to actually be close to Him. That is truly the answer. It's no secret, sneaky thing you have to figure out. It's like, I just need to really fall in love with God. And whatever that takes, and whatever that looks like for you, because the more I love Him, the way less attractive the stuff of this world is. Otherwise, what you find is this competition. Well, I'd really like to think, you know, whatever the world shows us, money becomes a god that we serve, right? Or pornography, or different things, that whatever pleasure thing that is attractive to you in the moment, because I can have it, I want it, I can have it. And we have this battle that goes on inside, and the more that we entertain that stuff, the more it takes root in here. But if I love Jesus, I'm like, I don't want that. I want to be healthy. I want to be able to have the best marriage possible. So I'm not even going to entertain the idea of pornography or all that kind of junk, because I want the better. Is this making sense? So fall in love with Jesus. Get to know Him. It helps you so that you can run from temptation. You can flee it. I've had times where I opened my mouth to say something critical and judgmental about someone else, and I felt gross before I said it. And it was the Holy Spirit warning me, and I shut my mouth. I actually was able to do it and just stopped. I was like, I shouldn't say that. There's times where I've also opened my mouth and I've failed. And I've spoken when I shouldn't have, and I felt really gross after. And I walked away going, I just criticized somebody and that was totally out of line. But the closer we are to God, he helps us in those temptations. He helps us in those things. And we start to pay attention to what he's saying. And so in John 14, 15, it says, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. And a lot of people look at the obedience thing and say, if you love me, prove it, is kind of the concept. And it's actually more about love than obedience. Jesus is saying, if you love me. So if you want to obey him, love him. That's the answer. Not, I have to have this strict religious, like, I have to work myself up to do all the right things and not do those things. No, just fall in love with God and all this stuff falls in order. Seek first his kingdom. Third one. Commit to the lifestyle of being a disciple. And again, it's being a disciple is a disciplined one. That's what that word comes from. Being disciplined. Having self-control. Putting into practice habits that will help you to grow and make you want to change, make you want to become more like Jesus. What would it take for you to grow right now? Like in your life, if you were to look at your life, what are the things you could do to help you draw closer to God? Think about that. I mean, every one of us is a little bit different, but at the base of it is, are you spending time in the Bible? There's no shortcut. Like, this needs to get in here. 5 minutes is better than nothing. 10 minutes is better than 5 minutes. You know what I'm saying? Like, get his word in your heart. But do what he leads. If it's reading a verse and calling it good, if it's reading a chapter, if it's reading until you feel him speaking to you, do a plan, again, but do it with the Lord so he can bless it. Don't make it about a religious thing, but just recognize you need to grow. I can't remember, I heard it said once, you know, like you eat food all week long. And that's great, but you can't even remember what you ate. I mean, I don't remember what I ate yesterday, let alone a week ago, but I know it fed me. And sometimes we read the Bible and we think, well, I don't remember any of it. But you know, over time, it's feeding you spiritually. And so, I mean, number one is, I'm always shocked when I hear the statistics of people that say they follow Jesus and never read this book. Okay? Cheat code. Read the Bible. Okay? If you read the Bible, the enemy has a way harder time deceiving you. If you read the Bible, your faith will grow. If you read the Bible, it shows you who God says you are in Christ, as a follower of him. It shows you the promises that he has for you. And you need all of that. Worship. Learn to worship God. Learn to actually get in his presence. It's not about just singing a song, but it's about actually connecting your heart with the Lord and exalting him. It's so critical and important. And so learn whatever it takes to walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says that we are to walk in the Spirit. I think I talked about this the other week, where it's a lot of us talk about taking a step of faith, but it needs to be a walk of faith. It needs to be a journey that we go on, and we choose to be led by the Holy Spirit every day of our life. The Greek word for walk is peripateo, and it means a continuous, regular action. It's a habitual way of life. So put it into practice. Figure out what it's going to take to help yourself to grow so that we don't stay mature or spiritually stagnant in our maturity. But we need to go step by step by step and actually draw closer to God. Your life should look different today than it did a year ago if you're following him. And honestly, if you're reading this, it will change you. Second Peter, I read this at the start, but 2 Peter 1 tells us that we get to participate in the divine nature. And it goes on to say things like we add to our faith goodness and goodness self-control. And if we possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. So God's given you all that you need, but you then begin to add things by your faithfulness in stewarding your life in a journey with the Lord. And you won't do well on your own. Can I just say that? That's why I love the small groups we went through in that season. I'm so thankful for many of you getting into small groups. And we'll have those opportunities again. But it's really critically important that you journey this with other people. Because if you're alone, you'll get confused. You'll get tired. You'll get weary. You only have so much willpower. But others saying, hey, didn't see it, small group. Didn't see it, church. Hey, how's it going? Praying for you. All right? And don't wait for the pastor to do that, by the way. If there's someone, you know how we often have like this is Daniel's chair. I mean, I see Daniel sit there most Sundays, right? And then Dawn and Colin, you guys are kind of usually, and Holly's got her spot up front. And you know, like you can start to say, even though there's not like a name tag, people are habitual, right? And we often go sit most of the time in a similar spot. So you can look to your left and to your right. And if there's someone missing today, because there are some people away or sick today, why don't you give them a call this week? Hey, how you doing? Missed you in church. Love you. Praying for you. Hope everything's good. That's all you got to do. And then pray for them. Everybody okay? Can we do that? Yeah. Take a look. Who's missing today? Maybe they're sick. Maybe they're traveling. Maybe they're going through a hard time. And maybe you can be a blessing to them. As a family, we need to grow. And we do that by looking after each other. Last one. Guard against going back to your old way of life, your old way of living. The Bible says that you became a new creation. And we are on this journey of fighting our flesh and fighting the old so that we can be set free. And the freedom has been paid for, but the submission and the surrender has to happen every day by us. Amen? So the victory's been won, but we have to access it. We have to walk in it. And that's the hard part, is that every day I have to actually choose to die to myself and say yes to Jesus and no to whatever my flesh is wanting me to do. And so just practically, I just want to share this quickly. If you struggle with certain things, then you just have to sometimes look for practical things that you can do to help. Like if you need an internet filter, get an internet filter. If you need to shut your internet off for a while, shut it off. If you need an accountability partner, someone that will talk to you and challenge you or check in on you, then do it. Find someone you can trust that you can talk to. Be like, I'm struggling with this. And I'm not just talking about sexual stuff. Like there's many times people struggle with different, we get into a habit of like being judgmental or critical or gossipy, and sometimes we just need someone to check in and be like, how you doing? Because you know, if in the conversations you've had, if you've been trashing people or talking about them, and it's just, it's important to have somebody to be like, how you doing? I want to pray for you today. I'm checking in. I had a friend of mine for a long time. He asked me if every week I'd call him and check in. And so I did. And that's, you know, those are the kind of things that we can do to help one another out, and it's healthy for you. Again, put guardrails in your life to help you stay on the right path. Do whatever it takes. Sometimes you physically have to change things in your home or in your life or in your schedule so that you will make room for God so that you can grow and pour the right things into your life and plant healthy seeds and push some of that other junk out. So if you're looking at your life and go, I don't have time for God, there's a problem. There should be time. He's supposed to be number one. So maybe you need to shut off the TV at night. Like, I'm just being real. Like, whatever practical things you got to do to put the right things and the main things first. It's not that you can never watch TV. It's not that you can never whatever. It's that get them in order. Remember that sin is crouching at the door and we have to master it. Philippians 2:13 says this, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Isn't that good? He'll help you. So I just invite you to close your eyes, bow your head. I want you to think about this for a moment. Jesus went around and he called people to follow him. And Jesus is calling every single one of us to follow him today. And when you look at people in scripture, you know, Levi had to leave his tax booth and the status that came with that. And blind Bartimaeus had to leave his beggar's coat behind. It was an identity that he had to leave. Andrew and Simon left their nets, their financial security and their identity to follow Jesus. And I think the question we have to ask ourselves is, what do I need to leave behind today in order to follow Jesus? What are the things that are holding me back? Is it an identity thing? Is it I'm chasing a dream that isn't God's? I'm running after the things of this world? Am I checking my phone every 15 minutes to see what the stock market's doing because the finances have owned me and I read my Bible every 15 days, but I know that stock market like inside out and backwards. I'm just saying, like, what are the things in our life that we have to let go of? And just like I read in James chapter 1, we have these desires and they turn into temptation and they turn into sin and then they turn into spiritual death if we don't deal with them. And so that's why we have self-control. That's why we have self-discipline. That's why we train to have our hearts ready, to have our hearts able to respond. So Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would show us if there's anything in our life that we need to let go of in order to follow you. If there's anything out of alignment, God, help us to make a plan with you to grow. And I pray that you'd show us how to be good stewards of every relationship. God, with our kids, that we could be amazing parents, that we would set aside being distracted and focused on ourselves and all the stuff that needs to change so that we can pour into our kids if we have kids or grandkids. And I pray that in our marriages, God, that we would be able to look at every that relationship, the most important relationship that we have with our spouse, and be able to look at it and say, God, how can I make this more healthy? How can I serve and love the person I'm married to better today? And I pray, God, that we'd be able to be quick to forgive, quick to repent, not carry bitterness and resentment, but Lord, that we could learn to love one another well. And I pray, God, with you, that we would make a plan in how to grow and how to spiritually guard our hearts so we don't fill ourselves with junk. But I pray, Lord, that as we sow godly, good, healthy habits, that we would reap a harvest of godly things in our life. And so I pray for strength, I pray for breakthrough, and I pray, God, that you would help us to see change and transformation and growth in us. In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody said?